You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. For the first time in 15 weeks, there is no football tonight.
Nope, no Thursday night game in week 16, so you get extra time to set your lineups. You get all the way up till Saturday, so that's a good look right there. But North Carolina Tar Heels did lose to Wofford last night.
What?
At home.
How? They probably paid Wofford for that game.
Yeah, they did.
And they lost.
And Wofford came in there and beat them. 79-75.
That sounds like they
whooped that ass.
That's awesome.
It's awesome for you. Sucks for me.
Sorry, man. Matt Modica, man, how are you?
The fantasy gods are not happy.
Uh-oh.
Greg Zuerlein to the IR, the Staten Island Championship game. He's our kicker. We have no money and no backup kicker. But we will win anyway.
Wow. I didn't know Greg. When did Greg Zuerlein go to the IR?
So that was last night. And it's funny. It's actually crazy that he's got to take his computer out now. Look at that. He's going for it immediately. And it's so interesting. Because that's the top story of the day, oddly enough. Because 37% of all finals teams, I believe it's in ESPN, have Greg Zuerlein. That is third highest of any player in all of fantasy. It's Greg Zuerlein. And listen, there are a lot of leagues where you pick up a player and it's fine. You have the $0 bids. The waiver wires are open. Go pick up a kicker. Greg Zuerlein's on the IR. But if you're in the case of Matt, where your kicker is hurt and you're screwed, that sucks.
Yeah, we are still projected to win by 17 points.
But projections don't mean all that much.
No, I don't really have a look at them, but I'm just staring at it right now as I look at the page. Greg Zuerlein was the best kicker in real football and in fantasy this year. So, you know, not too happy.
Yeah, you know, it's understandably so. Greg Zuerlein has been the best kicker in football, real life, fantasy life, all season long. Now, it doesn't get a chance to go with the Rams in the Super Bowl. And what's really crazy, or the playoffs, maybe the Super Bowl, what's crazy to me, Corey, is that the Rams, they didn't go sign like a Mike Nugent or something like that. They went and took some kid that's never kicked in an NFL game in his life.
That's a bad thing. For a team that's going to be in the playoffs with not much experience,
that's
kickers
crazy.
Are they very, like Ray very. Finkel laces out.
Kickers are very important in the playoffs. A lot of these playoff games are going to come down to kicks, and you got to make sure you have a good field goal kicker. You can see them lose the game because of this.
Oh my goodness, absolutely! Like the dude that they signed, I've never heard of before. I thought I'm the kicker guy, but like they signed some dude named Sam Ficken.
Where's Mike Nugent?
Who went to Penn State. That's what Mike Nugent's out there, I think.
Yeah, didn't the Cowboys cut him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Nugent. Why didn't they sign Mike Nugent?
No idea. Mike Nugent's fine. At least he's been to the playoffs before. Sam Ficken went to Penn State and was in training camp with KC. I think this is a little telling. When KC lost their kicker, Cairo Santos, who's probably out there, they went and signed a different kicker. They didn't even bring the kicker back that was in camp with them, you know? They went and signed Jake Butker, which obviously worked out okay. But this is very crazy. All right. Harrison Butker, excuse me. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. More headlines outside of kicker stuff. We're here at CERN. This is the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman hanging out with you. And Matt said it to us during the break. You lost Greg Zuerlein. Corey, lost Greg Zuerlein. But the good news is Keenan Allen's back. Yay!
Yep, Keenan Allen.
That's happy. Good times.
If you check the link, he is Jake's number one wide receiver in PPR.
Which is wild. It's, you know, it's wild, but it's not wild. Because if I could have told you that in week 16, back in August, if I would have told you that Keenan Allen would have been Jake's number one wide receiver, we're all like, all right, hold your, slow your road. But I don't think anyone would have been like shell-shocked by it. Because Keenan Allen's always had the talent and the ability. It was an inability to stay healthy, which, Corey, he's done all season long.
We always knew if Keenan Allen would stay healthy, he could put up one of these big-time monster seasons, especially with his target share. Now, his target share has gone down this year as Rivers has spread the ball out more, getting the running backs involved. But when you know it's time for them to step up and win some football games, Rivers relies heavily on Keenan Allen. And you most, and there's a good chance, especially the way Keenan Allen's been playing the second half of the season, that championship teams are going to have Keenan Allen on them. So it's definitely good to see him back in the starting lineup this week.
Yeah, I mean, Keenan Allen is, what, number three in points in PPR. So for wide receivers, I mean, look, those 3 week, that 3 week run he had where he put up 100 points.
So awesome.
Real, I mean, but the, as you mentioned, him being healthy and being on the field week 16 is the main thing here. After Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, I would put as my, if I was doing a fantasy all-pro wide receiver team, it would be Michael Thomas.
How about that, man? Keenan Allen, who just had such a nice year, and who I, you know, I love very, very dearly, and can't wait to go back to next
That's
year.
That's one of your guys.
He is. He's one of my guys. On the season, 88 receptions, 1,197 yards, and 5 touchdowns for Keenan Allen. As Matt said, he had 3 consecutive games with double-digit receptions, triple-figure receiving yards, and at least a touchdown in all 3 of those games.
Yeah, no, he's delivered. Now, your other guy, King Crabb. Do you play that drinking game where every time he drops a ball, you do a shot?
No, because I wouldn't be here, man. I wouldn't be here. You're right. King Crab was my other guy, and we're going to need King Crab to give us a championship on Monday. So we're relying on him. But, yeah, Keenan Allen, a dude that I think you can safely now draft. Who would you rather have next year, Corey? Keenan Allen or Julio Jones?
Keenan Allen.
I keep thinking, like, you know, Julio is awesome, but when I watch – maybe it's year one, like Corey says, in that offense with Matt Ryan. I just don't understand why Julio should be targeted a minimum 12 times a week to 15, 16 times. I mean, if you saw that kind of a target share, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time moving off of Julio. I mean, my love for him is pretty much well known. But, I mean, Keenan Allen is definitely in the conversation.
Listen, I think I would take Keenan Allen next year. I was a Julio guy, too. I own him, and I've watched him all season long. But I'm probably going to take Julio Jones. Going to take Keenan Allen, because even though Keenan is always is hurt, that was, like, the story behind him, Julio's just as hurt. And he's, I believe, 4 years younger, 3 or 4 years younger than Julio Jones. And if you watch him, I said this yesterday to you, Corey, every time he touches the ball, he is hurt.
He's laboring.
And now he missed practice yesterday with an ankle that he hurt on the second play of the game. So I watched that second play of the game back, his second reception, I should say, of the day. He's wide open. He's running toward the goal line. He gets tackled, and he limps off. And that was the play of the day. He sprained his ankle. He doesn't practice Wednesday. He'll be limited the rest of the week. He'll play this weekend. And this is the problem with Julio Jones, because he's never, ever going to be 100%, is 100%. Keenan Allen right now, he's got the back injury. Everyone's a little banged up. That's fine. But when Keenan Allen shows up at training camp in August, he's going to be fine.
Julio Jones won't.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, for me, I mean, Odell Beckham, considering everything goes well with the ankle, he'll be the number three receiver.
Sure.
But after that, it's probably Michael Thomas for me.
Okay.
I think the guy's consistency. He is a end zone threat as well. I mean, we saw this past week. He could have had 3 touchdowns. He ended up with 1, missed the other 2 by inches. So I just think the consistency, and as long as Drew Brees is back with New Orleans, he would be my number 4.
When it comes to the thing about Julio is, what I want to do with Julio is I want to be able to get him in situations where he deserves to be. For fantasy purposes, because of his inconsistency, he deserves to be a wide receiver too, meaning the second wide receiver on your team. I think you pair Julio with a more consistent number one style wide receiver. Who are going to be those guys next year? Not really sure of that quite yet as things change and stuff like that, but obviously you look at a player like Odell and some of these guys that are there every year. But he's going to be in a new offense next year. So this is going to be his first time learning something new. He could very well have a new quarterback, so I probably have to throw water on that. But when you look at a guy like Keenan Allen, you would expect his situation to be the same next year.
Yep, and we're going to, obviously, as we said all season long, we're valuing that. We're valuing the same situation, knowing the offense and knowing what to predict, rather than going to these new offensive coordinators that make it very, very tough on us.
Yeah, I can't wait for the offseason, and we see all these articles where the zero running back is dead, which I can refute that with players like Mark Ingram, Carlos Hyde this year.
Sure.
You know, you have to have a plan. You have to have players where, you know, you could possibly get them later on. Because the running backs, I mean, just looking at it right now, it's going to be running back heavy. Everybody's
absolutely
going to follow the herd. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But I'm just looking at it right now and everything you kind of, that the narrative is going to be.
I agree. The narrative is going to go right back to the running backs from where it was. I mean, you look at the top with Todd Gurley and with Kareem Hunt and with David Johnson and with Ezekiel Elliott with Le'Veon Bell with Alvin Kamara. I mean, I just named six running backs that are guaranteed to go in the first round. You throw Mark Ingram in there as well. You throw Leonard Fournette in there, right? Like, the strong majority of this first round is going to be running backs next year. And we can go over it next week when our season is done. But, yes, and I think all it tells me, Matt, isn't that zero RB is dead, and isn't that the two RBs is the way to go. It's simply that there's a lot of ways to win every single year.
It's easy to find wide receivers.
Well, I think it's the thing with the wide receivers now and how this league has become the passing game, it's just more spread out. And I think you need to really, the concentration, what I'm going to be looking at is a lot of slot receivers in PPR. Who is the slot receiver on teams? Listen, another thing that's good to look at that is they're going to be highly targeted, but they're probably not going to draw the number one cornerback matchup as well.
And so that's another good point. That's another good point to consider as well. Also, you know, you don't pay attention to defenses next year. Who knew? Like, who knew that Marshawn Lattimore and Ken Crawley would be this unbelievable duo in New Orleans? Nobody, and not even the Saints, who of course didn't even start these two dudes until like weeks three or four. Amazing that Saints started 0-2. They're going to breeze into the playoffs. Breeze into the playoffs. Yeah. The Chargers can sneak in there. They were 0-4, which is wild. They could sneak into the playoff hunt. So very, 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 very cool season around the NFL.
It would be fitting. I mean, I'm hoping it don't happen. At this point, I want the Bills to make it. But if the Bills and Chargers finish tied, and the Chargers win the tiebreaker because we
started
Nathan Peterman.
Isn't that insane how one decision could change everything?
Yeah,
not that it was guaranteed the Bills would win with Tyrod anyway. It's possible they would have, but they gave themselves no chance.
You give yourself a better shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have a stiff.
They would have been down, you know, probably 24-0 in the first quarter.
Right. It's unbelievable that could very well cost them the playoffs the first time this millennium.
Yeah.
The decision to start Nathan Peterman. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is what it is. The Bills have a lot of work to do this offseason.
They have a lot of draft picks, and if you want to, if I'm going to give this front office a chance. I really like a lot of the things they did with the player personnel hirings and stuff. They got a lot of, from if you just read about around the league, all these guys they were able to get were considered excellent acquisitions, guys that, you know, are highly respected around the league. You have a ton of draft picks, but you got to hit on. Having draft picks is great and all, but look at the Browns. You know, you can't keep passing up on possible franchise quarterbacks, and that has to be the number one goal this season.
Yeah, I agree. That for you guys, that needs to be the number one goal.
Is Lamar Jackson a franchise quarterback?
I don't know. There's things you got to really like about him, and there's other, you know, questions you'll have about him.
I don't know, man. I don't know the answer to that question yet. I don't know. Is Baker Mayfield?
I think he can be.
I think I'd probably lean more with Baker. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but currently at this moment.
I still want Sam Darnold. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no. That would be the guy. If I'm the Bills, I make whatever I got to do to get that.
Yeah.
They have the assets to do it.
Sure. Well, if you could just stay below number two, that would be very, very helpful to some of us to make sure that other teams get the quarterback that they need. So when we come back from our break here, I want to talk about I want to reflect a little bit, but we were talking about the first round, and we were talking about some of these running backs that can go. And I was looking at Jake's rankings this week, and saw Kenyon Drake inside that top 10, and it made me think about the pick of the year could be, the pickup that got you into the finals. And the number one player on ESPN fantasy teams, the most common player, I should say, is Alvin Kamara. And the fact that Alvin Kamara was dropped pretty readily to get to this moment, I think, is wild. I think the people that we sit here every week and discuss fab, and it was like, you know what? You spent that fab on Kenyon Drake, like, you have a very good chance you're here. I think those are the things I'd like to discuss. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the best pickups you could have made this year next on YouTube.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Studio 34. Hello, YouTube. My name is Greg Sussman. Join with me as always. To my right, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. To my left, it is Wall Street Matt Modica. We are rock and ready for championship week. But I needed to ask, I needed to reflect a little bit on how we got here. The steps that we took.
If you don't know where you came from, you won't know where you're going.
That's one hell of a quote.
Yep.
Is that a Papa Parson?
That's Malcolm X.
Might as well have been Papa Parson. So, Corey Parson,
yep.
You're right. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know how you're going to get where you're going. And the fact is, I looked at my draft. So in the team that I have in a final, I looked at my draft, and I had exactly the draft I wanted to have. Like, the majority of my team today, oddly enough, is the team that I drafted. You know, all the starting wide receivers. Mm-hmm. But there's a few that, well, quite frankly, are not. And I look at the end of the draft, and we sat here for months upon months upon months trying to figure it out. And for me, here are my, you know, my $1 bids in here, or my $1 to $2 bids. $2, Eric Ebron.
Supposed to work, but it didn't.
Nope. $2, Zay Jones.
Supposed to work, but it didn't.
I drafted three guys for $1. Oh, sorry.
Zay Jones playing out of position.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't good for him.
No.
Then now you have to look at the fact that the Bills also looked like they were going to be in tank mode all season.
Yes.
That also slowed down his progression.
Okay.
Well, speaking of tank mode things, just real quick, you know, we thought the Jets were going to be fantasy irrelevant. The Bills were going to be terrible.
Didn't happen. All right. One more $2 bid. That was Tim Hightower as a handcuff to Carlos Hyde.
Tim Hightower can play. There's no reason why he shouldn't be in the NFL.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I agree with Corey.
Anyway, the $1 bids. This is the fun part. $1, Robbie Anderson.
Did you keep him?
No.
Darn it.
$1, Rex Burkhead.
Did you keep him?
Nope.
You had the right
plan. Sitting here all summer.
Sat right there.
I drafted him.
That's true.
$1, Alvin Kamara.
And you cut him?
Yep.
Reggie well, Bush. Greg does like to cut people.
Hold on. But, so this is the worst part of the story. So I pick up Alvin Kamara.
Didn't really pop till about a month into
correct.
The season, though.
So I draft Alvin and Kamara. I dropped him in our first waiver run.
Wow.
Do you want to know who I dropped him for?
Who?
Jonathan Williams.
That's when he signed with the Broncos on the practice.
No, that's before he got caught.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, he's not out there. He's going to score all these touchdowns. My man, Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, loves this dude.
Don't blame that one on me.
Jonathan Williams in the
preseason. Don't put that one on me. I wasn't
you
really.
You love Jonathan Williams.
I was drafting him at the end of the draft, but I wasn't on Jonathan Williams like that. I wouldn't cut Kamara to pick up Jonathan
Williams. You say that now. I asked you before I did it.
You asked me before you did it.
Of course I did.
I probably was drunk that morning.
Might have been. I can't deny that.
Might be now.
Might be. You never know. But anyway, so I dropped these guys, and obviously I actually picked Burkhead. Oh, sorry. I did not drop Burkhead. I traded Burkhead away for Cooper Kupp at some point this season.
That was a good trade.
So I didn't. It was when he was hurt. I wasn't sure when he was coming back. So I didn't drop Burkhead, to be honest with you. I did drop Robbie Anderson when he got off to the slow start the first couple of weeks. And I did absolutely drop Alvin Kamara. And how about this? And just to show you how fickle fantasy football is, somebody picks up Alvin Kamara, they hold him on their bench and hold him on their bench and hold him on their bench. And Adrian Peterson gets traded away days after this person that picked up Alvin Kamara and just held him on his bench traded him away for Allen Hurns.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. And that's why in
that
this
can change the season.
It did. The kid that had Alvin Kamara made the semifinals, wound up losing last week, but made the semifinals.
Yeah.
And he was dead in the water without that, obviously. It is a season changer. And that's why in this particular league, Alvin Kamara is by far our pickup of the year here. He has been that good. He has been a game changer. He is on the majority of finals teams, according to ESPN. He is number one, as I said. Would you like to guess who number two was? I told you before, number three was Greg Zuerlein. Number two?
Number two.
Is on ESPN Fantasy Finals teams. 48% of finals teams have Alvin Kamara on it. 37% have Greg Zuerlein.
I'm assuming maybe Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley is number two at about 39%. Would you like to guess four and five? Most common players in ESPN Fantasy Finals.
Le'Veon Bell?
No, Le'Veon Bell is not on the list at all.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Nope.
Antonio Brown?
Nope. I'll tell you this. Number five, Jacksonville Jaguars defense.
Okay.
33% of teams have him. In fact, right past them.
That sounds about right. I got him on pretty much. And
right past them, 33% have the Ravens defense as well. Picked the Ravens at some point during the year, so that worked out well. How about this? Number four, and you can understand this, we're talking about pickups of the year.
Is it Robert Woods?
It's not Robert Woods. Robert Woods actually isn't on this list either, which is surprising. But it was the ability, because you had a good team, to pick up and stash. And Corey and I killed this particular move with this particular player, admittedly. But 35% of you have him in your fantasy finals, and his name is Josh Gordon.
Yeah, but he didn't really help them get there.
He did not help them get there. Mm-hmm. But they had the ability to pick him up because they were probably way ahead. So, you know what? Let me stash this dude. I have the ability with my roster, my flexibility to stash Josh Gordon. And that's why he is on 35% of ESPN Fantasy Finals teams.
Yeah, that was definitely a good move if you had the roster real estate and if you had the ability, like you said, where you didn't need him. And I look at those teams that they probably didn't need him. They had the good records
totally,
and stuff like that.
Totally, absolutely. So Josh Gordon comes to mind as a big pickup, although not the pickup of the year because I don't think he necessarily pushed your way into the final. As I continue down, some of the most common players in ESPN Fantasy Finals teams, potentially a pickup of the year, Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams, the Brett Hundley, was Aaron Jones gets hurt, Ty Montgomery gets hurt. Jamal Williams popped off, Matt.
He did, but I mean, Aaron Jones popped off for a couple of games, and I don't really know who's the better running back here. I mean, is Aaron Jones better? It seems like the Packers really kind of like Aaron Jones a lot.
I agree.
So, I mean, I don't know what to make of it come next year when you have, who's the guy that got hurt?
Ty Montgomery,
Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams.
And Aaron Rodgers back.
So, yeah, and Aaron Rodgers back. So, that's going to be an interesting off-season topic here. Yes, Jamal Williams had a couple of big money weeks to propel you into the fantasy football playoffs. I'm scared to death to play him this week.
If you take out the defenses, Corey, the number five most common player on ESPN Fantasy Finals team is another guy that, honestly, he's not Kamara, certainly, but he very well could be your pickup of the year. He may have been drafted, but back in week two, week three, you guys, specifically, I remember on the Frenzy with Jake, had this argument if you should pick him up. And I was like, are you out of your effing mind, Jake Seeley? Why would you pick this dude up? And all he has done is produce outside of last week where he may have cost you a championship. But Devin Funchess.
Nah, Devin Funchess, I just always thought the kid sucked.
Yeah, 100%.
He might.
He doesn't. Yeah, I don't think he does.
No, I don't think he does either.
He's got a lot of opportunities. He's getting a lot of opportunities.
Look, the process with him was correct. After you kept seeing him getting the target share week after week, I mean, I didn't jump right in, but then, eight targets, 10 targets, 12 targets. I mean, at some point, you got to say, look, even if the guy did suck, like Corey said, he's just getting too many targets.
A lot of opportunities for the young man. He took advantage of it.
Devin Funchess is one of these guys that have gotten you to the finals. That's why he's on 31% of finals teams right now. Devin Funchess has been fantastic for you all season. One of the best pickups of the year. Then I get to my favorite pickup, the reason that I'm in the finals. I've talked about him a lot, Matt. It's Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I mean, Kenyon Drake, in my Staten Island league, we got Drake. And honestly, that night when we were bidding, we put Drake first and Williams second.
Yep.
And I just thought Drake was the better back. It just happened to be luck with the injury and stuff. But at first, Williams played the first quarter of every game when he was healthy. Drake didn't come in until that second quarter. So Adam Gase his hand got forced. And fantasy owners are reaping the benefits.
You know, it's interesting. For me, when this happened, I bid on both Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams. I didn't want both of them, but I put in a nice size bid on both, saying, listen, if someone goes over the top of me and Kenyon Drake, I'll probably get Damian Williams. And I wound up getting both of these players. And that week, I tried to trade them to everybody. I didn't want to waste two roster spots.
Sometimes the best trades you make are the ones
100%.
You don't.
I tried to trade them to everybody. When I traded for Kareem Hunt, I tried to include Davante Adams in every package I offered. He didn't want Davante Adams. He preferred T.Y. Hilton. Like, this is how much can change in a fantasy season. And the only reason I'm here is because of Davante Adams.
Team
and Kenyon
I have
Drake.
Playing for the championship, I picked up Kenyon Drake on November 1st.
Yep. How much money did you spend on that?
I would have to go back and look for that, and I can get that information for you. I picked up Kenyon Drake on November 1st. When I picked up Kenyon Drake, I did not know if he was going to go right into my lineup.
Right.
Since November 1st, Kenyon Drake fantasy scoring weeks are in the PPR 17, 17, 2, 12, 23, 24, 23.
He's been RB2 each and every week.
He's carrying you. He's been carrying you down the stretch. For the last 2 months of the season, Kenyon Drake carried fantasy teams as a running back that you was able to get up off the waiver wire. Now 100%. Let me go check and see how much I paid for him.
Yep.
I think I paid a nice penny for him, to be honest with you.
But you know what? It was worth it. Obviously, it was worth it. You know? It's crazy. As I continue on here, there's one more guy that you picked up, I think, that really helped you.
I spent Kenyon Drake. I picked up Kenyon Drake for $158.
So
Alex Collins?
Alex Collins, exactly where I was going to go. 28.8% of ESPN Finals teams have Alex Collins. And we watched it, right? Like, you remember back in London where he wasn't getting the majority of the carries, but he was the only running back that looked confident for Baltimore, and he looked great.
At one point in the season, he was getting a small amount of touches, but the yards per carry were standing out. And now he's taking over that thing.
When I picked up Kenyon Drake, I see that I dropped AJ Derby. And I'm thinking to myself, why the hell was AJ Derby on my team? They must have played the Giants the week before.
There you go. We take a break. We talk with the King about his lineup ranks for Week 16.
Oh, Lord.
Next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Radio Network. And if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. At this time, I want to bring in the king, Scott Engel.
Yes, good morning, Greg, and getting all ready for week 16 over at rotoexperts.com.
We are indeed at rotoexperts.com. You're getting ready all week long on Fantasy Sports Today. Heard every single weekday morning, Monday through Friday, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, waking you up.
Stop breathing like that.
We're back here.
Yes, Corey, I'll stop breathing. I know you want me to.
That seems harsh.
I wouldn't do that, Scott. Yeah. And we need the
but not unexpected.
Oh, it was harsh, but not unexpected. But you can talk trash all you want, huh? Don't think I forgot.
Right.
Don't think I forgot about you, Scotty.
You never forget about me. I'm in your head.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad that awkwardness is over now.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. You're in the finals, Scott. I believe you said three of your leagues inside the finals this week. A lot to go over, and that's why I have opened your lineup ranks, which are available right now at rotoexperts.com. You got it up there. You had a fantastic year, so we go to you to try to win it all. And the first thing that stares at me is the man you have inside your top five quarterbacks. Much like the all-in kid Jake Seeley, you believe that Nick Foles is a top five QB this week.
Yeah, he definitely is. I mean, you certainly have to like the matchup, and there's been a lot of crazy questions about whether he's going to get benched or not, and I was talking about on Fantasy Sports Today this morning. That'll only remotely happen if the Vikings lose to the Packers on Saturday night, which is not totally impossible, but unlikely. And even then, he has to get reps with this first-team offense as the playoffs approach. You don't want him to be rusty because they're going to have a first-round bye. Then you're going to sit him for 2+ weeks. It doesn't make sense.
No, you know, I get it. He's in the top five. You know, it's interesting. It's championship week. Both Case Keenum and Nick Foles in your top five, Scotty, ahead of TFB. Like, all right, you like Nick Foles, fine. You like Case Keenum, fine. Ahead of Tom effing Brady?
Well, Brady's been trending in the wrong direction the last few weeks. He's also got two single-digit games in his last three. The Patriots' offense hasn't been nearly as explosive. It's a divisional game, so you just can't look at the names. You have to look at the production.
Right, so I got that. But I want to be real with you, and I want you to be real with me. You very well could have a team that has Tom Brady and Nick Foles on it, right? Like that is like an extremely, extremely valid thing. Hell, Nick Foles may be out there on waiver wires for people. Like, you know, you're playing someone that has Cam Newton as their quarterback, for instance. You're saying, by looking at these rankings, I want to make it very, very clear, you are saying if Tom Brady is my quarterback, I should then bench him for Nick Foles. That is what you're saying.
Yes, but I got them ranked right next to each other, so if you want to go the other way, I'm not going to vehemently debate it with you either.
I want to know what finals team you would bench Tom Brady for Nick Foles.
If I had both of them, I'm using Foles this week.
That's
Brady's
crazy,
not been giving me the
Scotty.
Numbers recently.
That's crazy.
Well, you would say to me, "It's Case Keenum is crazy too."
Yes, but, I am. You know, I stand by it.
Look at the way he's played. You know, we're not here on draft day anymore. Julio Jones is not a wide receiver one. Mike Evans not a wide receiver one. Tom Brady's he's been trending down recently.
No, I understand that. I want to get to Julio Jones and whatnot here in a moment, but I just have a hard time, and maybe this is just me, and maybe it's a common fantasy player mistake. I don't know what to say about it, but I have a hard time saying, all right, I'm benching Tom Brady in my championship game.
It's okay. I'm not. If you're not going to do it,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're wrong. I have them ranked right next to each other.
Yeah. All right. There you go. I appreciate that, Scotty. All right. Let me move on from the quarterback position here. Because the rest of it, nothing really stands out all that much to me other than that, Scotty. So there you go. That was a big thing. All right, let me get to the running back position then. Available right now, as I said, rotoexperts.com, the Kings lineup ranks. This week, Scotty, I noticed you put Ezekiel Elliott in his return to the lineup back inside your top 12 at number 11. Most analysts have him inside your top 5. Why the small drop there for Zeke?
I saw a report yesterday the Cowboys are not certain exactly how they're going to use Zeke, that the guy just had 6 weeks off. You can't expect him to come right back in, no matter how good he looked on the beach. You know, you can't expect him to come right back in and, you know, be this dominant running back. He's been out for 6 weeks, and the Cowboys are not going to hand him the ball 25, 30 times a game in his first game back. It's probably not going to happen. I like him a lot with the matchup. If Wagner's still dealing with the hamstring and KJ Wright is still out, I think you have to like the matchup. It's Ezekiel Elliott. He's active. He's an RB1, but to have him inside my top five when you're not certain what the workload is going to be is not something I can do.
Well, you did have Jason Garrett come out yesterday and say, listen, he's getting the number one. He's right back as our number one back. He is in our, he's in our lineup. He's going to get his normal amount of touches. In order for them to win, Dallas has to win to try to get to the playoffs, try to keep that playoff push alive. They know they have to give a fresh Zeke, who has been off in the last 6 weeks, at least 25 touches. To me, that's a guy you're going to have around your top five, I'd say.
I think 25 touches is a lot to ask of a running back that
he's
has
healthy.
Been off
he's
for
fresh.
6 weeks. He's healthy, fresh. Not, I don't think I can assume that.
You can't assume he's fresh. He hasn't played football in 6 weeks.
I'm fresh in terms of there could be rust there. You know, we've seen it with Zeke before. Corey's talked about it.
Yep.
That he plays himself into game conditioning. He hasn't played a game in 6 weeks. I can't assume that he's fresh. Marshawn Lynch was supposedly fresh after missing a full year. It's missed time does not necessarily mean that a guy is going to come out and play in vintage form. I think it means the opposite. 20 carries? 18? Yeah, I could see it. I'm never going to believe what a coach says publicly.
No, I understand that, but to say someone's not going to be fresh if they're not playing for 6 weeks. Like, yes, you're right. Corey has said on multiple occasions, we talked about it yesterday on the show.
Can you tell me he's not going to be rusty?
I didn't say that. I was going to say that.
Right,
Ezekiel Elliott plays himself.
Fresh,
Scott,
fresh
hold
in
on.
One term.
Hold on. He says he plays himself into game shape. You're right. But the only way to play yourself in is to get the carries. And Ezekiel Elliott, you compare him to Marshawn Lynch, he's like 10 years younger than him.
Yeah, but it's still the spirit of what we're talking about with the word here. To be fresh just because you're laid off doesn't mean you're going to play like you're in vintage form, because you also could be rusty. Of course, I'm not saying they're going to give him the ball 8 times, but I think 25 is too much to expect, too.
As I continue down your lineup ranks, running back position over at rotoexperts.com, I come upon Joe Mixon, who has snuck into your top 24 pretty easily at number 18. He has not been cleared from concussion protocol yet. He seems to be one step away. There's a good chance he plays this week. Why Joe Mixon this week over Jerick McKinnon, who was fantastic last week? Joe Mixon hasn't played in a couple weeks. He's also kind of terrible. So why Joe Mixon over Jerick McKinnon in PPR leagues?
Again, I have them very, very close to each other. There's not a significant gap. I think I'm right next to each other. I do like McKinnon, but you can't always be certain of what his workload is, whereas Mixon, if you can, and you can run on the Detroit Lions.
But you don't know Mixon's playing.
Oh, he's practicing in full, so he's trending in the right direction.
He is trending in the right direction. I don't know that I can trust Joe Mixon behind a terrible Bengals offensive line.
Saying that all year.
But they've given up. This is even worse than it was. They've lost linemen since we've said it all year. They've lost linemen, and they've given up.
True, but I know what his workload is going to be, and if they get in the end zone...
Wait, do you know what his workload is going to be?
If he's cleared, I think he would assume his regular workload.
What is that workload?
He'll probably get, 15, 17 carries and get some goal line cracks.
And I definitely agree with that. The goal line cracks will be there. As take a look at Joe Mixon before he got hurt against Denver, he had 20 rushing attempts, against Cleveland, 23. Do you think he gets right back to that?
I think he gets close to that.
Okay.
The difference between him and McKinnon is, you know, he's a red zone and goal line guy, and McKinnon is not.
One more name. We talked about the BFFs yesterday. We all kind of like it. I think Matt said it, too, here on Roto Experts. C.J. Anderson, he's outside your top 24, but facing Washington, he's kind of gotten the job back. How come he didn't crack the top 24 this week, a guy like Mike Davis does?
I just saw one good game from him, and I don't know if I'm willing to go back as strongly to the C.J. Anderson. Well, I will give him credit for last week, but he's not trustworthy. Neither is Mike Davis.
As I move on to your wide receivers, of course, all this available inside the rotoexperts.com exclusive edge package. It is Scotty's Roto.
Everything's free.
Everything's free. That's right. That's true.
Yes.
It's Scotty's lineup ranks, which is available just for free at rotoexperts.com. It's inside the exclusive edge package, but you could be exclusive this week because it's all free for you right now. I noticed here, Scott, as I look at the lineup ranks, you have Michael Crabtree, number 22, and I need King Crab. That is 10 spots lower than consensus. Most people believe he's a top 12 wide receiver this week. You have him barely as a top 24 wide receiver.
Yeah, I really don't like this matchup for Oakland this week. I think they're going to get trounced, and I really don't like Derek Carr this week. Yeah, he scored 2 touchdowns last week, but the yardage isn't there, and I'm really not liking the matchup for Oakland at all.
But they're probably going to have to throw the ball now.
Can they throw the ball in this matchup?
I would think so, yeah, probably.
I don't think so. What makes you think so?
What makes you think they're not going to be able to throw the ball?
I just think they're going to get crushed here.
I agree. They got to throw.
I think Derek Carr is mediocre.
Right.
The Philadelphia defense is very good, and I just don't think they're going to be able to exert their will at all on offense. You know, this could not be a game either where they're playing catch-up. They might just get destroyed like 38-10.
All right, let's talk more about Scotty's lineup ranks tomorrow on the show. I'm sure he'll update them before then, so we'll have all new stuff to talk about. Scotty, we appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, love to debate with you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up next, Matt and I chat a little baseball here. Yonder Alonso, the new Carlos Santana. We break it down when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica and I here, chat a little baseball for the next 5 minutes or so. And Matty Mo, as I said, headed to break. It was the Indians moving quickly to replace Carlos Santana once he signed with the Phillies late last week. They engaged in discussions with Yonder Alonso, and it looks like Alonso is headed to Cleveland to be their next first baseman, signing a 2-year deal worth about, I believe, $16 million, $8 million a year. Career year for Yonder Alonso. What do you project for him inside this lineup, inside the Jake?
I kind of like it. I kind of like the left-handed power in that ballpark. But if I put the over-under on 19.5 homers, are you going over? Probably not. Maybe more high teens. I think last year, look, he hit 28 homers. I don't think he has 70 career homers yet. As a late round guy, I'm fine with it. He's a guy that I'm going to take later on in drafts. Not, really excited about Alonso, but I think it's not a bad signing for the Indians. They needed to fill that hole. So I kind of like it. 2 years.
Yonder Alonso. I made him a little bit higher on him than you. I know he's going to be 31, so he's not like a young guy anymore. But I felt like we were waiting and waiting and waiting for this power to come. And when Billy Beane traded for him a couple of years ago, he thought there was this power that had not been realized yet. We finally saw it last year, and he turned it into, as you mentioned, Matt, 28 home runs on the season.
I mean, for me, realistically, high teens, home run guy, 260 to 280 range, batting average, I would pretty much bank on something in that area.
Sure.
So, yeah, he's a nice little player, but he's a guy in fantasy drafts you wait on, and, if you need to fill, you want to have a little depth at, the corner position and stuff.
He, last year, hit 20 home runs in the first half, just 8 in the second half. So he went on that tear in the first half, really slowed down later on. back in July, it was his worst month, batting just .227. It was May where he went off with those 10 home runs. I remember we were talking about it. He was seemingly hitting a home run every single day. And it's very tough for fantasy owners to kind of get back with these types of players because they've been been so ingrained in your mind as not good. And when they have these runs, you just don't believe them.
Yeah, there's a great article by Eno Saris. Yonder Alonso actually called him and asked him, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do and stuff? So if you get a chance, check that out. I highly recommend that. But, yeah, he's a guy, like I said, later on. I think Cleveland's a nice spot for him. Like I said, I do like. Look, they lost Santana, who's a guy who I like his landing spot as well. If he was going to go somewhere and land, I think the Phillies is a nice spot for him. But, yeah, Alonso is a guy for later on, especially like in a 15-team league where you're going to have a deficiency somewhere. So, you know, maybe he can help you out there.
The other first baseman that signed yesterday, corner infielder, Matt Adams. He signed to be a backup first baseman for the Washington Nationals, signed for about $4 million with D.C., basically replacing Adam Lind on this team. It's not fantasy relevant, but it's an interesting move by the Nats.
No, I do like it for the Nats. I mean, you know, why not put this guy in that role? You know, as you said, he's replacing Adam Lind. This is just a depth move. So, yeah, on that aspect, I have no problems. I kind of like it.
I know you like it for the Nats, but I have to ask you about the in relation to the Mets here because they need a first baseman to pair with Dominic Smith, so I believe. Briefly kind of linked to some of these guys, and yet money problems kind of costing them an opportunity to go after them. You've heard bargain barrel deal for a guy like Adrian Gonzalez rather than going after one of these better bats.
If that's the case, just take a shot with Dominic Smith. The Mets don't seem to like this guy, and he's young. He has a terrible build, not something you want to see on a young player. But, I mean, I don't know. The Mets are just, it's depressing, it's dark, it's just no bueno in general.
Yeah, no, it's indeed the hashtag no bueno. That should be a good segment for you in old school. Just the hashtag no bueno. Get everybody late on a Friday night writing hashtag no bueno out for you. And that's kind of how it feels with the Mets right now and with their finances. There's some great pieces that are out there. Just how much in dire straits this team has been and currently is. The payroll that consistently goes in the opposite direction. When we come back, Corey Parsons rejoins the program. We'll get to a lot more football. We're also going to get to your calls this hour, 2-844-843-6879. The break goes right now. We'll be back right after this.